This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Real reason we're here, how the hell are you doing? My man, Zach John King. I remember when I first met you, it had to be, a year ago?
Yeah.
About a year ago?
Yeah, right? Close to it, yeah.
Because how long have you been up here in town?
2 years.
2 years? Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, the first time Preston over at Black River was like, hey, do you want to play? At the time, it was in the round.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, it's a huge deal. And then I met you, and I was shaking up there on the stool. So it was great, though. Yeah
and you've played one of our Rhythm and Smoke events over at the Rusty Nail. You've kind of bounced around and done all of our different things that we have within Rage Rowdy. And over the past, I guess, like, few months now, it's just been, life's been different, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. It's picked up. It's been fun. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah.
I think it's managing time and expectations and relationships and all of that.
Where do you think all that change kind of starts for you?
Man, probably balancing it at home.
Yeah.
Like when I try to manage it to where when I'm home, I'm like home.
Yeah.
I put the phone best I can, put the phone down.
Dude, that's my biggest thing too. Unplugging from these damn cell phones, bro. It's fucking difficult.
It's tough.
Especially like our worlds with being in the music industry.
Yeah.
Because we're not off. Like, we don't have off time. Like, we'll have our set time of, like, when shows are, or when we, or in your case, when you have a write, or when you're doing something like this, when I'm doing something like this. But then you can get a notification on something, or somebody from the team needs something, or whatever. And it's just, it's hard to, like, unplug, but God, it
100%.
Feels so good.
Yeah, it creates, like, a line in the sand of, you know, when you're on, and then when you're off, if you can compartmentalize those two things, I feel like you're a better creative, you're probably a better worker,
because
you have time to recharge.
Yeah.
But that's where it starts for me, and I'm not good at it yet, but I'm getting there.
Yeah, dude. Hey, dude, it's all a process. So, talking about starting for you, you were from, you're from Fayetteville, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
What is Fayetteville like? It's a small town. It's like less than 20,000 people,
yeah,
right?
It used to be a lot smaller. This is kind of fun, Marvel Studios moved south of us. It was a bunch of farmland.
Yeah.
And they were like, let's build some studios. So it's gotten bigger. But yeah, it's still sub, 20,000 people. I've been there pretty much my whole life. I grew out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like most people in Nashville, you hit a point where you're like, man, I don't know if I want to be in my hometown. And I've grown to love it again. But there was a moment where I was like, I don't want to be here. And so I left. And now the irony of that is like when I get home, I'm like, oh, this is kind of nice.
I think that's just natural for anybody with their hometown. Because like I grew up in a New York City suburb.
Yeah.
Like I grew up where there were a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I want to get away from this shit. I want to get to a small area. Not that Nashville is a small city by any means.
Compared to New York, though.
Yeah, compared to New York. You know. But growing up, I used to be like, man, the city's just a pain in the ass, whatever. Then I move away and I'm prouder to be a New Yorker now than I ever have been.
Yep.
Just like I'm sure you relate to coming from a small town like Fayetteville.
Totally.
Talk about Marvel Studios. Is that so that's like the big Marvel movies and shit?
Yeah,
I
think they were at the time they were called Pinewood Studios.
Okay.
But they made like all of them down there. Like my buddy saw is it Chris Evans?
Yeah.
At the gym.
Oh.
Like while he was Captain America.
No shit. Yeah. You're like, yo, I'm working out next to Captain
America. It's kind of nuts,
at the small town gym in Fayetteville of all places.
Yep.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's crazy. But it's been fun. And like you said, I fell back in love with, I think it's more of a pride thing. Like you move away, you hate it for a minute, and then you get to a bigger spot and you're like, man, I'm proud of where I came from and I'm proud of the people that are still there that are, that are holding it down in town.
So. Yeah. For some, what would be the thing to do in Fayetteville, Georgia? What do you grow up doing? Like hang out in the Walmart parking lot, folks?
We did a lot of talking in a couple of parking lots. There's a lake. We have one lake.
All right. That's
Lake Horton.
That's Lake Horton. All
right. You can go walk and run. We got Dairy Queen.
All right. Dairy Queen. That's a big thing.
Yeah. We would do that.
Get them blizzards.
Yep. I'm trying to think of, we like to drive. Like it was one of those things where like summer we would just go drive.
Yeah.
And that was about it.
Literally living a country song.
Yeah. No, I'm in most ways I was looking back when I was writing and I was like, man, this is kind of true. Like we would drive sometimes for hours.
Yeah.
Just to do something.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild, man. Yeah. So what inspired the move to you getting up here?
Yeah, I was in an indie band in Athens, Georgia.
Dude,
so
freaking love Athens.
It's the best.
I love all of Georgia, honestly.
There's not much bad with Georgia.
Three places that really hold my heart are Athens, Rome, and Statesboro.
Yes, sir.
So they're different ends of the state. Like, you have Athens, like, the college town of all college towns. Yes. If people ask like, what's your favorite college town or what's one of your favorite cities that you've gotten to go on the road to, Athens is up there. More bars per square capita than I think anywhere in the world. Some beautiful women when you're young coming up. And a thriving music scene.
Oh, it's
such
like
a thriving
the
music
best
scene.
Place to start. I mean, we started the band and we were all in different states, and then we were like, okay, do you move to Nashville or do you move to Athens? And we were like, why don't we start in Athens? It's a smaller pool.
Yeah.
But it's such a great spot to cut your teeth.
With a lot of history.
Totally.
A lot of history.
Yeah. R.E.M.'s from there.
R.E.M. coming out of there. Corey Smith on like the songwriter side. Yes. Guys like Brantley Gilbert, John Langston, Colt Foreman. You name any of the Georgia guys. But when I think of like the Athens scene, I think of the guys that are from nearby. Like Brantley being from Jefferson.
Oh, yeah.
And Corey being from Jefferson. And then guys like John Langston and Jordan Rager being from Loganville up the road.
Totally.
Like, so were you more of a 40-watt guy or a Georgia theater guy?
I think at the time, 40 Watt held so much history. Like, the first time we got to play there was like walking the green rooms and seeing all the names on the walls. Yeah. That was a huge deal.
Especially being a rock guy. If you're more in like an indie band, like a dungeon style like club like
that.
Oh,
it's the best.
Oh, dude, that's the best room you can play.
It smells like cigarettes
and
beer.
Yeah, it's what you want.
It's what you want. And that was fun because everybody's played there.
Yeah.
John Mayer, Foo Fighters, Kings Leon, you name it, they've been there. So I think at the beginning it was 40 Watt for sure. And then as you grow, you're like, man, the theater's kind of sick. It's like nicer sound and better green room, and it upgrades. And so, well, luckily we got to play both, but cutting our teeth there was amazing. And then, like you said, I did that for 4 years, loved it, learned a ton about playing live shows and writing, and honestly writing with people, being in a band.
Yeah.
The first co-writes were four people. And then COVID hit. And it was like everything kind of started to sit with me like, hey, I need to, if I'm going to try this as a career, I got to try it.
Yeah, and you got to do it.
The indie band thing is like,
yeah,
I love it and I'm grateful for it, but it's not the way we were doing it.
Yeah.
It wasn't going to be a career. And so I think it just took going for
it. Were you guys like just touring all around the Southeast?
Like, we had a nice little I call it tours, but we could play like, we'd go to Auburn and play. That circuit was always good.
Was that like Bourbon Street and Skybox?
It was like house shows.
Oh, like, oh, we would, you're in the frats.
Our philosophy was we do these free house shows, but we'd sell like tons of merch.
Yeah.
And so we would do that for Auburn, and then we went down to Statesboro a couple times, and then we would do Atlanta. And so it never got much bigger than that, but that circuit is a great place, again, to start if you're trying to do it. You know, that's the best place to dip your feet.
Yeah, dude. So. And it's similar to like you talk about Auburn. Like, there's so many guys and girls that come up in Alabama and Mississippi and South Carolina.
Yes.
Georgia's kind of the hub that's in the middle of all of that. So if you want to go up to Aiken, South Carolina, or you want to go up to Columbia, you can. Like,
it's easy. It's
such
a trip.
Yeah, that's something that you folks out of the Southeast just have such an advantage on, honestly.
Totally.
The fact that the college, like, growing up for me, like, being in college, I went to a college in New Jersey, and it was like, like, DJs, just what you would think, stereotype of freaking New Jersey. But then you go to the bars down here, and it's like, no, there's a band playing.
Totally. What's the difference for you, though, like, in, do you like both? I'm assuming you like both of
I like
those
both.
Styles.
I like both. I was involved in, like, the very small country scene that was up in the Northeast, so, like, I had buddies that were doing the songwriter thing, playing the little beach towns along the Jersey Shore, and then opening for the national acts when they'd come through on radio tour kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I was getting the taste of that, and I've always kind of preferred being around in a band setting versus, like, a club setting kind of thing. Or a band in a club.
Yeah,
that's my ideal world.
That's perfect.
Like, the Blue Room in Statesboro.
Oh, dude,
that's ideal.
Yeah.
Hedges, or now I forget what it's called now. It changed names in Athens. But that type of environment
100%.
is what I like. So looking at your Spotify now, bro, six-figure monthly streamer.
Yeah, yeah. That was a big goal for us.
Yeah.
So we hit it, pretty wild.
That's big, dude.
Thank
and
you,
like
man.
You've just been you've already got two songs out for this year.
Yeah.
It's a good start to have two singles out by beginning of May now.
Yep.
Like,
and then we've got EP coming May 24th.
Hell yeah.
Which we're so stoked on.
How cool is that for you to have done the band thing and to be paying your dues, playing these house shows, living off merch money, doing what you're doing, and now to have your name on there, to have the creative control that you have, to have the team around you, mm-hmm. like, what's that all feel like?
It feels really good. It's funny, like, the ability to take a vision of my own and make it my own by myself is really nice, because, you know, in a band you're sitting with three to four other people. Yeah. You have to bounce every idea off of, you have to find a middle ground, you fight a lot. So the good thing about being the solo artist is, you know, I do have that control.
Yeah.
But there are times where I'm like, man, it's fun creating with other people. And I think that's why co-writes are so fun, is because it does make me feel that way. It's like I'm sharing this creative space with a group of people instead of just me. But yeah, it's amazing. We pride ourselves in making decisions really fast.
Yeah.
And you can make decisions so much faster with one person.
You strike me as a, hey, let's get the ball rolling.
Yes, I don't like to wait on much decision-wise. Yeah. I think as creative people, like, we can get so in our heads about decisions and like waiting for things to be perfect. And for anybody that's kind of struggling with that, my philosophy is like, as quickly as we can make a decision we feel good about, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's been the key to early success, is fast decisions. So with one person, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. So when does the ball kind of get, and excuse me, I said you only had two songs out this year. You got three out.
Yeah.
When does kind of that ball get rolling where you're like, I'm going to do this solo thing. Like, Zach John King Music's going to be out there. Like, the first song, I guess, was Just Missed You.
Yeah, right? That was in October. And then we
also, it's been less than a year.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I moved here to write. And then somebody asked me, like, probably 5 months into town, they were like, would you rather be on 16th every day writing, or would you rather be playing shows? And I was like, oh, man. And that little voice inside of me that was in the band and started all this, I was like, I think I'm wanting to do the shows. And so the artistic thing grew, and then October hit, and we tried it. It was like, all right, let's try this single. Let's try this thing. And the reception went so well. We just have steadily built, you know, song by song. We're quick, like every 6 to 7 weeks, we're putting songs out.
Isn't it amazing that people can do that now? You used to have to be like, I remember growing up waiting for the next Jason Aldean record or waiting for the next Brantley Gilbert.
Sometimes like
record.
A year, year and a
half.
Yeah,
dude, like the damn album cycles of stuff. And I know, obviously, streaming, there's all the different controversy, and there's not a lot being given to songwriters, and there's all that, and that's all another conversation. But the fact that you're able to, like, how it was back in the day, with like, it was only like the SoundCloud rapper guys doing it, or like the underground people throwing a song at YouTube, just throwing darts out there.
Yep.
The fact that you're able to do 6 week release plans and feed your fan base, which for you, you're starting still from like ground one, but when you have 110,000 monthly listeners, like, you have people listening to you all over the fucking world, and you just get to feed them.
You have to. I think it's like, and you may disagree, but for me, I think being this small, the size we are, the more music, the quicker you can put it out, the better.
Dude, I love it.
I just don't know if the philosophy of letting people wait months and months and months for music is working right now for artists my size. You know?
Yeah, and I think that goes back to how it is where we started, where we talk about, we have these fucking things with us all the time.
Yes.
Like, we're used to seeing TikToks every day. Yep. We're used to seeing reels every day. We're now so freaking spoiled that we can order something on Amazon and it can arrive later that day. Not in 2-3 business days.
Yeah.
Like, same day, within a few hours.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, why can't music be like that?
Instantaneous. And it takes a lot of, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to do a podcast weekly. It's like, it takes a lot of pre-planning and work on behind the scenes. But I think the speed and the consistency thing is like so important for this day and age of consumption.
Yeah,
so,
what's it been like doing shows as Zach John King?
Dude, it's amazing. It's so fun to like own what I get to do. And then obviously I can't wait for the fall. We're hitting the road with Connor Smith.
I saw that. Dude, that's a perfect pairing. And his shows are fun.
They're nuts.
He has he has a good bass. And I think similar kind of stuff. I think all the Connor Smith fans will leave being Zach fans.
I appreciate that. Like, that's what
honestly,
I'm hoping.
I think it's a good pairing.
Yeah.
Dude. When I saw that, it got me very excited.
I can't wait. I think it's a great pair. And it's a full circle moment. Like, I still have a ticket on my phone from his show. Before I moved to town, I went and saw him. I can't even remember. It wasn't the theater. It wasn't 40 Watt. It was some, like, they just opened this bar/venue. It was like one of his first headlining shows. And I stayed. And it's just a full circle kind of cool moment of a God thing where I was like, the other day I was checking my wallet and I was like, oh, that's the ticket from 2 years ago when I went and saw Connor.
It's crazy how that works, man. Yeah. The universe kind of just works like that.
I think so.
Honestly, yeah. it's pretty wild.
It is.
Man.
It is.
Do you know where all you're going to?
Yeah, we're.
So I'm gonna pull it up right.
Yeah,
now, as a former tour manager, I love this.
Please,
shit.
Please help me. Yeah, I think we're in Chicago.
Ooh, Chicago. That's a great city. Have you been up there?
No.
So that is one of country music's biggest markets. Like,
I've heard.
If you look at like your streaming numbers and stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it's always like Chicago.
It's always Chicago and Dallas and Atlanta are like always at the top for country artists all over the. All over the country, but maybe I can pull it up. I'm gonna pull it up on your like Instagram or something.
Yeah,
I think
it's
tour flyer. Let's
I have
see.
That second half. I think Jonathan Hutcherson has.
Oh, another great guy too. Another great guy.
The best.
And similar to your style as well, and to Connor's style, which fits really well
for sure.
So you are on. Ooh, you have some fun ones.
Yeah.
So you're going. You're doing. Oh, Michigan.
Yeah, dude.
Rosemont. Oh, so that's Joe's live that you're doing.
Yeah.
So you're skipping Joe's on weed and going right to Joe's live.
Going to live.
Joe's
I heard that today.
Live is dope.
I heard that.
That's
I heard
a
that.
Cool room. And heck the guys that run that room, they're freaking awesome.
I
Ed Warm
it.
And those guys. Those are the same people that do Windy City Smokeout.
Oh, sick.
He's like the godfather of Chicago country.
Oh, dude. That makes
really
me so
good
stoked.
Dude. And they hook it up on the hospitality. You're going to get some deep dish pizza in you.
That's amazing.
You're going to eat some good pizza.
I've never had, I've had it shipped. I've had a deep dish pizza shipped.
You got it shipped?
But we got it from, what's the famous one?
Luminante's?
Like, yeah. They sent a frozen one. I've never had like a real deal one, so.
Dude, they're good.
I'll take you up on
it. Oh, and then Des Moines, dude, I love Iowa.
Yeah.
Iowa's cool. I'm actually going there in a couple weeks.
Let's go.
For a festival. Oh, and then Canada.
Yeah, we're doing the Canada thing. Yeah.
Dude, that's going
to
be
I'm excited.
Cool.
I've never been to Canada.
Yeah, dude, I haven't either. I've never been out of the country, dude.
Really?
But, and the Canadian country scene is booming right
it's
now.
It's massive.
It is.
Yeah.
Booming.
Yeah.
And you'll notice when, because have you gotten to do a little bit of touring now, doing the solo
this
thing?
This is pretty much the first big thing we've done.
Yeah. Dude, congrats. That's
thank
a
you, man.
Big deal,
thank
bro.
You.
That,
thank you.
That first run, there's something special about it. You know?
I can't wait.
There's something special about it, and there's something special about going out and seeing these different parts of the country. Something you'll see is you go to these areas that are outside of like the southeast or Texas or like where it's like, oh, this is a country market. And people go bananas because they don't have just bands playing on a Thursday or Friday night like you had in Georgia.
Right.
So when it comes to town, everybody within like a couple, within like 100+ mile radius,
go see the show.
Yeah, they're gonna come see the show.
Yeah.
Like you go to those bigger markets like Toronto, London, and Montreal, all great country markets, bro.
It's been fun to like on my Apple Music app for my artistry, you can see where people are listening. And we have a lot of people listening in Canada. And it's just going to be fun to see faces.
Yeah.
Because I haven't connected faces with people that are listening.
And to get to just travel and see new places.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's been my favorite thing. Like, I've gotten to go to 42 or 43 states. And part of that is because I'm lucky to be from the Northeast where all of our states are so freaking close to each other. You could drive through the entire state of New Jersey in about 3.5 hours. It's small. It's like millions of people in this tiny ass little state. So like growing up, I'd gone through all the Northeast and gone through the Mid-Atlantic. But then being on the road, I got to go to places like South Dakota, like Colorado, like Iowa, like Wisconsin, like all these different spots. And you're only in them for a quick amount of time. But when you pull into like a gas station in like Missouri or somewhere, you're just gonna get a whole new taste of culture.
Totally.
It's gonna give you a whole new perspective.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to take that and have that perspective now of life. And you being a writer first kind of guy, bro, you're gonna see something. You're just gonna be writing. Your notes app is gonna be
full
of ideas, dog.
Yes, sir.
I'm very
sir.
Excited for how that's gonna come out. So talk about your family a little bit. Did you grow up listening to music a lot?
Oh,
or like what,
all the time.
What's the family dynamic like in the King household?
Yeah, so my grandparents, my earliest memory, my grandma has she still has it, but it's an old radio in her kitchen.
The classic, the transistor, baby.
Yeah, and she would open the window and cook dinner and play everything country. I mean, everything country. So country music was the start, obviously. Most people in the South, like you grow up traditional country. I fell in love with Patsy Cline before
ooh,
I knew.
The old
like,
stuff.
Oh, yeah, like
all
way
right.
back, way
all
back.
All right, yeah.
And then my dad got into, like, he grew up a little bit in that world, but he grew up on, like, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and he grew up on The Stones. And, like, so you get these two worlds of, like, classic rock, and then you have traditional country.
Yeah.
And my dad is a huge, like, my mom and dad are great supporters, but my dad specifically is like a massive music fan. Like he kind of listens to everything.
Yeah.
And so Christmas morning, you remember the little iPod, like the original Shuffles with no screen?
No screen.
It was just a little thing.
Yep.
The Christmas those came out, it was like a big deal. And he got me one, and he had 400 songs on it. Everything from Otis Redding to The Police to Three Doors Down.
Wow.
I mean, everything. Yeah. And he was like, just listen to this. And I spent the next, weeks listening to every song on there, and it just expanded everything I knew about music. And then, so now I know it sounds corny, but like, I love all kinds of music. I've been on like a Bad Bunny kick the last probably three weeks.
Learn it. And
just
Bad Bunny's such a big artist that we don't even know what he's saying.
I don't know what
the beat and the melody is just so good. You're I'm going to bump this.
For sure.
And he just sold out Bridgestone.
Yeah,
like, he's selling out. He's like biggest in the world.
Yes. I think it's refreshing though to be, we're in such a bubble in Nashville.
Dude,
country.
We really are. And I tell that to my friends back home all the time because they're like, man, what's Morgan doing or what's Luke doing? I'm like, dude, honestly, I couldn't even tell you what's going on with some of the like bigger acts because I'm so in the ground and in this bubble of seeing who's blowing up in town right now.
And
like you're having a moment in town right now, like getting to watch like the old 60 guys who we're friends with. They've
massive.
We get to see things here before they go out to the world. Like the first one I remember, because I moved here in 2018, so I've been here 6 years in October, which is flown by.
Dude.
But the first thing I remember seeing is fucking Hardy. I remember the first time Hardy sold out. I think it was the old Cannery ballroom over there on Cannery Row, where they have like all the little rooms and stuff. And he sold out the big room there. And that was when he had like Throwback and Signed Sober You and like that early EP, know? And then seeing that, and then fast forward a year or two, and it's like, oh shit, this guy's selling out major rooms all over the country. How do you keep the, because they always say keep the blinders on in Nashville, but at the same time, it's like you don't want to get caught up in this bubble, and it's like you want to be able to have that audience outside, because it's one thing if Music Row's fucking with you and loves it, but if you're not, that's not going to sell tickets.
No,
that's not going to get you streams.
Right Yeah, I think it's a practice of making sure that you're not getting all your inspiration from one place. And I think for me, that's like, I love music. I could have a double and go home and all I want to do is listen to music. So it's one of those things where I love it. But
that's special because there's a lot of people that can't listen to the music.
I listen to more music than I know what to do.
Yeah. So it doesn't feel like work yet.
No, I think the writing process is totally a different muscle than like me listening to music. But most of the times I'll get home and I'll listen to anything but country. So it's Kings of Leon. I love Kings of Leon.
Another band that has history here in Nashville.
Yes. And so, but it's like, it's Kings of Leon. Last night I cooked dinner and listened to Coltrane. Jazz to like, I call it like a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
Where it's just, that's so foreign to country.
I've never heard it described like that.
Yeah. Cause you need that.
Yeah.
You need that reset in your brain.
That's important.
Yeah.
I've never heard it described like that, but it's so fucking true.
Cause you can, man, you get in a bubble, especially as writers.
Yeah.
Where you're just recycling and you get in that, you get stuck and it's like, well, why don't my ideas sound fresh? And it's like, cause you're listening to the same thing every day.
Yeah.
So anything like that, I think keeps me, away from that bubble as best I can.
Yeah. Do you like that you're coming up in the time right now where all different influences can kind of be accepted?
It's the best. I'm so grateful for it, dude. Because otherwise, I don't know if this would work. Yeah. I mean, I think about all the artists that are coming out. I even look at what Hardy's doing right now, and it's like, even 6-7 years ago, you couldn't make a rock album in the middle of your career.
No.
And it's like, now you can, and it's fantastic.
Yeah.
And unpopular opinion, I love everybody coming into country. I think it's sick.
I think it's cool because I think it's like we're having our moment now as an industry.
Yep.
We're like I grew up more into country and like the classic rock stuff, like you were talking about. Like our parents, it seems like, listen to a lot of the same kind of stuff. But and coming from like the Northeast, and you could probably relate coming from Georgia, the history of like hip hop and rap and all of that stuff. We had our scene in New York with like Biggie and Nas and DMX and all that. And obviously Atlanta, the rap mecca for the last two decades.
Yeah.
And it's like they had their moment. There was a moment where rappers became the rock stars. Mm-hmm. They became the Guns N' Roses, the Stones, like that level of success. And now we're seeing that in country for like the first time. Like I know there's always been like Garth and people like that, but it's like it's at a different level when guys are selling out stadiums
multiple days.
Yeah. Selling $1 million+ in merchandise one fucking night. Yep. That's crazy.
Yep. It is. And I think it's cool to see. I think the reason that country has done that and grown that way is because, you know, let's say 20 years ago, if you're writing country music, most of the time you grew up on country music.
Yeah.
So what you hear and what you've been hearing is what you're writing. Well, these days, like the people that are making the new music grew up on Killer Mike and Outkast and George Jones. And you get this like amalgamation of influence and you're hearing it. It's like that. I think that's why more and more people are coming to country is because it seems to be this input of all these different influences now. And people are like, oh,
it's storytelling.
Yeah.
And there's a million different ways to tell a story.
Totally.
There really are so many ways to tell a story, whether you're from a small town, whether you're from a city, whether you're talking about something that makes you happy, whether you're fucking sad, which is like a big thing right now. Like there's so many, because it's like post COVID, everybody just got sad, bro.
Yep.
You know?
But I think people wanted real after COVID. Like I talked about that, like the writing style for me, I'm trying to be as real as I can in these songs. And I think holistically COVID made everybody sit alone most times and look at like their own lives. I mean, for me, that's why I moved to Nashville. I was like, I got to make this move. But I think people want real because the social media thing, as great as it can be, is so superficial sometimes.
Yeah, dude.
I think musically, people are dying for like, just be honest with people.
Yeah,
say what you're uncomfortable to say. I think it's a big change.
Yeah, so what of your songs kind of relate to that, you think?
A lot of them.
But like let's go to this latest one you released.
Yeah,
Wanna Be Cowboy.
Yeah.
Interesting title.
Yeah, it'll be the title track of the EP.
Hell yeah.
It's a autobiographical love song for me. And I don't like writing love songs. Like anybody that writes with me knows like I hardly ever do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, if we write this, it's got to be gritty and it's got to be honest. And it's literally my story. It's what I am and what I'm not.
Yeah.
The good and the bad, you know.
And wrote that with Adam Wheeler and Scott Stepakoff.
Yes, sir.
How are those two guys? Because I don't know those two dudes.
Scott's
very well.
At Smack.
Oh, cool.
And then Adam was like my first ever co-write in town.
Oh, that's
ever.
Cool.
And he's salt of the earth, dude. Incredible writer. He wrote Fix You Too for Megan Megan. And Scott's great. But yeah, that day was a special day because that was like a 2-hour write. And we walked in and Scott was just fiddling with the guitar lick.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's sick. And then I've never had this happen. I don't know if it'll happen again. But I went to get coffee and we were fiddling with the top of the chorus, like what to say.
Yeah.
And I walked in and came in with the same exact line as Scott had.
That never happens.
Which is, I ain't got a horse, but I drive an F-150. And we were like, what? And so something was special there. And then the song was written, I mean, that's a year and a half old song. And a lot of those, like, the pile gets higher and higher, and you start to forget older songs. But that one, every time, was beating out the new stuff. So
yeah, because it's tough to... Like people are like, oh, he just put out this new song. But it's like, that song's been living for a long time.
Yeah.
So how many songs do you think you're writing a week right now?
I'm writing 5 days a week, sometimes doubles. So,
damn.
I mean, we're getting, on a good day, we're getting a song a day. So 5 to 6 a week. And it's just, I mean, to me, like, I look at it like throwing darts. Like, the more darts you throw, the more times you're going to hit. And so, for me, it's a game of volume and discipline. I want to be a good songwriter. And I think the artistry thing, inadvertently can kind of pull you away from like actually learning how to write a good song.
Yep.
And you know, I want to be a really good songwriter as well, because I'm in the room with people that are incredible songwriters. And I don't want to just be the artist that's
have you had that what am I doing in the room with this guy?
Oh yeah. Yeah, probably yesterday. I wrote with Daniel Ross and Josh Jenkins.
Oh,
and,
that's a good room.
And they were the best, dude. But it was one of those, I walked in and Josh had just celebrated his number one. And it was one of those things. I was like, "What am I doing here? Like, like I'm not qualified to be in here."
Are you to the point where you're able to determine if you're writing for Zach the artist or Zach the or you're just going in and writing?
Yeah,
or like, because that's another thing to navigate too. Being a songwriter and being a songwriter that's an artist, those are two different things.
Yeah.
And some people struggle with that.
Yeah, it's a dance for sure. And I signed my publishing deal in January.
And where are you at the publishing?
I'm at Boom.
You're at Boom?
Yeah.
Good place to be.
Amazing. Yeah. It's like, I told him, it's like being a freshman on the football team and like all your, you know, teammates are state champs. It's like, that's what I feel like. It's Chris Tompkins and Hackworth and everybody. So,
yeah.
But yeah, balancing that has been it's getting better as I get more confident in what I want to say. Yeah. Usually I walk into a room and it's like, I know it's for me. And we, you know, we throw out ideas for me. But most times what I do is like, best idea wins. So whatever idea in the room is the best that day is what we write. And what that does for writers and for me is it takes the pressure off of somebody having to come in and have to hit a bullseye every time.
Yeah.
And it's more like, can we get the best song today we possibly can? And most times I end up loving it. But the days I don't, you got a great song you can go pitch.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely. Especially writing with a guy like Hackworth.
Dude. Oh, it's nuts.
When we talk about like guys that are raised rowdy.
Yeah.
Jacob Hackworth. Dude. Jacob Hackworth was raised very, very, very
and
rowdy.
He's just having a year, man.
Dude,
I mean,
yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah,
it's
that was what was cool about Key West was seeing him down there. Were you down there this year?
I wasn't this year. No? I went last year.
You went last year, that's right.
Yeah.
But seeing Hackworth just bopping around.
Yeah.
Because it's like when guys have something to celebrate down there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because I remember years ago, like Taylor Phillips was down there this year, but like years ago, I remember Taylor telling stories about like when Hurricane went number one, he was starting to have his success. And so like seeing guys like Hackworth and Heath and those dudes like have their moments right now, but still be the same dudes that you would hang out with at Losers or Red Door or wherever.
They're selfless, incredible people. I mean, Heath, I was with Heath in Kentucky the other night, and it's just like, this dude is such a genuine human being.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. I think ego in town is like almost non-existent, at least in the writing world, because I just don't think you can have it and be creative at the same time.
Yeah. Especially nowadays.
Right.
Especially nowadays, right. For sure, dude.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what do you like doing when you're not, you're talking about cooking last night?
I love to cook.
You love to cook.
I loved it. That's probably my cooking and fishing are like my favorite.
So you like going, your ideal situation is you're going on some really nice fishing trip and then you're cooking the fish.
Dude, we used to, the year before I moved, we had a farm pond and this dude would stock trout in it for the winter. And we had to catch all the trout before summer because they would die. And every Sunday for like 4 months, me and my buddy would go fish. We'd get like 5 trout. We'd come back and we'd cook them that night. It was like a Sunday
routine.
Just like
filleting them up, kind of.
Oh, yeah. We'd fillet them and then did like lemon and garlic and butter. And it was fantastic. So, yeah, I love to fish. I don't get as many chances as I used to.
There's some spots out here up in Middle Tennessee, though.
Yeah, there's some. I love farm pond fishing. Like, it's my favorite. I probably like it better than lake fishing. But fishing and cooking is probably my favorite.
I mean, what else? Fishing, cooking?
I love movies. I love to watch good movies. I'm like a kind of a movie nerd.
Okay, so what would be like your Mount Rushmore?
Man, it's a great question.
Because like I love the crime movies. I'm biased being a New York guy. Like your Goodfellas.
Okay,
and your Bronx
Goodfellas is up there for me.
Because that's like the culture I grew up in. You know?
Yeah.
So I don't know where do you like scary movies and shit?
I like.
So I can't do the scary movies.
I don't love scary movies.
I turn into a little girl watching the scary movies.
Those stay with me too long. Yeah. Like I watch them and then a day later I'm still like a little bothered.
Yeah, you're alone in the house. You're like, exactly. Oh shit, what was that? Yeah.
No, I love like The Irishman.
Oh, that was a good
one. I've watched that movie
Niro.
Too many times. Love that movie.
You know, it's good when you watch all 3 hours.
Oh, it's nuts. Yeah, it's a whole day of watching a movie.
Yeah.
I'm a huge like Indiana Jones, like classic, like the old ones, like the first three.
Yeah.
I think are perfect movies. But then like I love dramas. There's one called Manchester by the Sea.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
It's super sad. I love sad movies.
Okay.
Like, I love sad songs and sad
movies. I was going to say, that ties into your song.
Yeah, I don't. Happy songs. I'm a genuinely, like, happy guy.
Yeah.
But I think writing a happy song, I just don't need happy songs usually.
Yeah.
Like, usually I need a song where I can, if I'm having a rough day, I can turn it on.
Yeah.
And so that's why
it's like that duality, like Jekyll and Hyde. 100%.
Yeah.
But two sides to the coin.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
That's
but
awesome.
Fishing, cooking, movies, being outside is the best. I mean, if I can be outside, I'll be outside. That's just the best way to do it. If that's a hike, if that's a trip, a camping trip, I mean, anything, you name it. I just like being hunting, you know, when I can. So
yeah, we're getting ready to start getting into like our camping season.
Yes, sir.
We go to a lot of festivals with Ray Trouty. And some of these festivals, we're working our way. This year we got some where we're doing the Airbnb hotel thing.
Okay.
Which is preferred.
Yeah.
But we go to some festivals, bro, and we're pitching the tents.
Yeah.
And Nikki T and I we're
just doing it.
We're in the campground with the people.
Yes, sir.
And there's I know camping in the woods and going to a campground is a little bit different than like festival concert camping.
Sure.
But festival, that's I'm getting ready.
Yeah, it's for, still a thing. I mean, if you're doing it, I mean, I'm assuming you're bringing all the stuff you need.
We're bringing all the stuff. We got a guy, one of the day one rowdies from back in like 2016, 2017 with Nikki T. His name's Dave. We call him Chef Dave. And he has the big Blackstone and he's cooking up. He's the guy making breakfast and dinner. Everybody throws him some money. And then he goes shopping beforehand. Yeah. And then he's feeding us the whole weekend.
I love it.
Kind of thing, you know?
I love it.
But I'd have experience being in a tent when it's raining.
Oh, and it's tough.
It's something.
It's tough, dude.
My
whole childhood was camping. That's we did. And my brother-in-law is a Air Force Special Forces. Like, he's a nut. Like, such a good dude. But his birthday this year, he was like, I want to do a camping trip for my birthday. And I was like, dude, I'm in. Like, I love camping.
Yeah.
Well, his version was a 50-mile backpack where we went on the AT and just hiked and brought everything we needed on our backs. And it was the hardest thing I've ever done. But you're carrying 40 pounds, and everything you're carrying is what you need. And the second night, it rained. And I had this little bitty tent. And it was just miserable. Like, there's no other way to say it. Like, it was the worst thing ever.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there's two types of camping. Like, preferably mid-fall, you know, no good weather, sunny days, like, high of 60 degrees. That's perfect. But, yeah, the rain in the tent is tough.
And, you know, when you go to a four-day festival like we do, there's going to be some rain.
Absolutely.
You just got to hope it's at the right time.
Yep.
Do you have any festivals this year that you're doing? Are you at that point yet?
We're doing CMA Fest.
Okay,
so
that's exciting.
Been incredible.
That's a big moment. That's a big step, bro. Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, it was cool. I was watching it as a fan last year, so to be able to play it is sick. We're doing... the Thursday, we're doing the Fanfare X
nice.
You know, meet and greet stage.
Yeah.
And then we're doing the Whiskey Jam stage on the 7th, June 7th. Yeah. So that should be great. And then I signed a Neil agency.
Oh, dude, congrats.
Thank you.
I love the folks over there.
The best.
Yeah, they're good people over
there. They're amazing. And we literally just signed. So the summer is pretty much booked out. We might get some one-off dates, but it really starts kicking up in the fall. So
that's
I'm just
awesome.
Preparing and trying to write more and get stuff recorded.
Hell
so when
yeah,
I go
dude.
Out, I got stuff to play.
Oh, you know? I can't wait to be at one of the festivals that we go to. That's what we do. We set up like our Raise Rowdy merch area, but then like this past weekend we were at Rock the Country in Rome, Georgia.
Yes, sir.
Which was
it's crazy.
It's Kid Rock and Jason Aldean headlining. So that tells you all you need to know.
Yep.
Some of the best people watching I've ever.
Rome,
experienced.
Georgia in general.
Yeah, but then you
it.
Put those guys on there and it was cool to see all the patriotism.
Yeah.
We said the Pledge of Allegiance like five times from the stage. It was pretty wild.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah.
But we did a bit where I went out in the tailgate section and started out with one of our Raised Rowdy hats.
Yeah.
And like traded to see what we could end up with. And I ended up with this big ass, I call it the white man by the water hat, one of those big sun hats with like the stuff underneath. And some of the stuff that I was like trading and swapping to get there, it's like half a can of Zin.
Yep.
It was like shooter of Bacardi to give to this, to give to that, half bag of Sun Chips, like an open bag of Sun Chips that I traded for like a, not Crocs, but a pair of Walmart Gators, like the Walmart branded.
Yeah.
So it's like the people at festival. I can't wait for when we go to a festival and we see your name on the side stage and then eventually on the main stage.
Be sick.
Because it's going to happen. And the festival culture is just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And that's such, and you'll see that being on the Connor tour too and doing CMA Fest.
Yeah.
You're going to just get so much exposure.
Yes.
To different people.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I think that's really what we're going for, you know, on these early tours and on these early shows is like, how can we put the best show possible on for whoever shows up? You know, at any cost, like, well, how can we do this to where people leave the show and they're like, man, that opener was like sick. And they, you know, they come back the next year when we headline. So.
Yeah. So going back to the indie band days, what were you guys traveling around in?
Oh, gosh. I mean, my truck usually. I mean, we didn't even have a band. We did have a trailer. We bought a trailer.
Right, that's big.
That was a big thing.
The trailer's a big thing.
And then we wrecked it. And so it was like toast. But yeah, we were never too far away to not do like a non-van.
Okay, so this year you're going international?
Yeah.
Are you going out with the band or is it acoustic?
So the U.S. run is going to be full band.
Okay.
Like, no holds barred, like we're doing it. So it'll be a van and trailer and a crew, which would be fun because that's kind of, I haven't done any of that since the band.
Yeah, are you like driving guy, or are you a stretching out in one of the rows guy, or are you riding shotgun with your feet up on the up on the dash kind
of? I feel like I like to drive, but I think we'll take shifts. I think we'll have a nice little regiment. Like if our merch guy, you know, got some sleep the night before, he might drive. But I like to drive. I don't mind it. And then I think the Canada run, it'll just be me. Acoustic, so I think I'm sharing a bunk with the Connor crew. So
nice,
that'll be good.
Have you been out on a bus before?
I haven't. This is all new for me, man.
The bus stuff's to go from how you've toured in the past, and especially it's really nice that the Canada run is after the U.S. run, because you'll get to be with the boys in the van pulling the trailer, and then you'll get spoiled in the bus.
I know, like, I have something to look ahead to.
Yeah,
like,
dude,
because cool.
I've done that before, where, like, one weekend you're in a bus or you're in a bandwagon, and then the next weekend you're in the 4350 that you're hoping doesn't break down, you know? Like, I've done that shit. And so to have that at the end is something to look forward to. That'd be really cool, and the bus is fun.
Sick.
Well, I guess you'll take whatever bunk they give you, right?
I've heard horror stories about the bottom one.
Really?
Is it the bottom or the top?
So the bottom one is nice. Bottom side, you want to try to be on the driver's side.
Rumble strip side.
Either one could be the rumble strip side, depending on what lane your bus driver. and dude, I can't wait to hear about your first bus driver.
Yeah.
Because bus drivers are always characters.
Okay.
I've been with guys that go by Cookie. I've been with guys that go by Bobby Lee. We've had a guy named Mild Greg, because we know another guy named Wild Greg, and this guy's a little more mild. The bus drivers are a hoot.
So okay.
You on the bus is
I'll
gonna
keep
really,
you posted.
I'm excited to hear about that. I was always a middle bunk guy. I got lucky because I was a tour manager. So I got to take the middle bunk, front middle on the driver's side. But I've done the top. I never got the bottom because we had some tall guys in the crew I was with.
Okay.
So they wanted to be in the bottom. But then I know some guys that are like 6'8" that take the top bunk.
They like the top.
I'm like, how the hell are they getting in there?
Well, do you
got to climb into your bunk.
Yeah. And also, like, how many times do you wake up and hit your head? I've been curious about that.
I only did once.
Okay.
When we were doing the bandwagon thing, the bandwagon bunks are a little bit smaller.
Gotcha.
A bandwagon is a Freightliner like chassis with like 8 bunks in it, but it doesn't ride like a bus. It doesn't have like I don't even know what it's called.
Suspension, whatever.
Yeah. So it rides like a truck, but I was usually in the driver's seat.
So
if it was a rumble strip, I was just feeling it up front, you know? I was doing all right. There was one show we were in Arkansas, and we were going through like the Ozark Mountains, which that's a great show too. Ozark, you talking about dramas?
I
just finished that.
Did you really?
Yeah, blew my mind.
They filmed all that, like, I mean, it's all mainly, I guess, the Georgia stretch. They filmed a ton of that in Georgia.
No shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Funny enough.
But yeah, we were going on these winding roads through the Ozarks. I just remember getting texts from them being like guys falling out of the bunk and shit. It's wild. So I'm excited for you, dude. So so we're talking about this EP. How many songs we got on there?
We got 6. So we got 4 that are coming that have already been out. And then we got 2 brand new ones. And I can't wait. I can't wait to show people. I think it's a really good introduction to me as a person and an artist. And I think that's what we wanted. Like, this is our first big push to audiences, and I want to be as vulnerable as I can and honest as I can, and I feel like it shows through that music. Yeah,
that's awesome, man. I'm super super stoked for you. And then, where in town do you like going and hanging out? Because you're not a big drinker anymore.
I love like where I can hear people, like, so quiet spots. There's a place called Urban Cowboy out in Lachlan area.
Yeah.
That's a great little spot. They have like an outdoor bar with pizza and fire pits and stuff.
I've heard about this place.
The place is great.
I'm a big pizza guy.
Yeah,
so I've
it's
heard,
great pizza.
I've heard the pizza is pretty solid.
It's quiet, but then like I love Dino's. Like,
so you're an East guy.
I like East a lot, but I go like if I'm gonna go out, I'm going to like Mickey's or Dino's, like the dive bar. I don't want like this prim and proper, like, no offense, but like Gulch clean. Yeah. Shiny bar. Like, I want to go to like a hole in the wall, because in Athens that's all there was.
Where in town do you live at?
We're off Charlotte Pike, you know where like the Costco is?
Yeah.
Like,
okay,
right over there.
Sweet. So you're driving out to
yeah, if I'm gonna go out, I'm gonna make it a thing.
You're gonna make it a thing, go all the way to East.
Yeah, I love the dive bars out in East. Just feel like I don't know, honest.
That's how I feel about the Rusty Nail.
Yes. No, that's a great example.
And I'm spoiled that I live out here in Hermitage.
100%.
And I'm right near the Rusty Nail. That's why Nick and I really like doing events there.
I love it.
It's less than 5 minutes.
Well, it feels free authentic. Parking. It's like, it's not trying to be anything else. And that's like the people I like hanging out with most are those like authentic people that aren't pretentious or whatever.
Yeah.
And I feel like my hangout spot needs to be the same way.
Yeah, and then you don't get a lot of the tourists.
No. And I mean, no disrespect, but like, I'm not trying to go to, anyway.
So have you ever been to Broadway?
Yeah, like, I worked on Broadway when I moved
here.
Yeah, I worked at 1230 Club and poured water for too long. I moved here. I quit my job in Athens. I had a career. I was a behavioral therapist.
Oh, really?
And working with like kids with children with autism. Like, wow. Killer job. Like, I loved it. It was fulfilling. It was everything. Career path. I mean, it was like a thing.
Yeah.
And then I moved. I quit my job. And I remember a week later, I was driving to Broadway on a Tuesday afternoon. My shift was from like 4 to 2, like 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. And I was in an apron and a tie. And I was like, I'm about to go pour water for people. Like, what am I doing? Like, I couldn't believe I'd made this big shift.
Yeah.
And yeah, I worked there for about 7 months.
Yeah, that's about how long my stint was on
Broadway. And then I got fired. I got fired.
I had
booked so many writes because I could write during the day.
Yeah.
That was my philosophy. Like, if I worked at night, I could write during the day. And I started to book so many writes that I was calling out. And finally, my manager called me up on a Sunday and was like, hey, come in early today. And I pulled up in my outfit. And he's like, yeah, I think we're done. And I was like, all right, cool.
But that's probably one of the greatest things that's ever happened.
Best thing that ever happened. Because it forced me to, I was like, all right, now we got to do it. Like, now we really got to do it. There's no safety net.
Yeah.
And I think, I heard Hardy talk about that. Like, the plan B thing, you know, you don't want to be completely irresponsible. But the plan B can be dangerous because you can sort of be half in, half out with something. And I think once I got fired, I was like, I gotta make something work.
Yeah, so. Dude, absolutely. I spent a little under a year working on Broadway.
Yeah.
I was a door guy doing security at Whiskey Row.
Oh, man.
I was bouncing at
Whiskey
Row. I
bet you saw some things.
Oh, dude, yeah, I got stories. That's a whole separate fucking podcast. Yeah, dude. Oh, dude, yeah, I saw. And then I worked, and then I had the touring gig that got selling merch that got me off of Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. And then I worked at Dogwood for a little while and did security during
Dogwood.
COVID. I was like the mask police. Like, I was the guy that had to tell everybody to put their masks
pull them
up. Yeah, dude, it was
put them over your nose.
It was dude, it was fucking wild. So what's something, now you've been here, you said it's coming up on what, like 2 years?
2 years, yeah. I've been here.
Like exactly 2 years?
2 years and 3 months, 2 years and 4 months, yeah.
So what's something that you wish that you would tell that kid moving up here and who's then going to pour water in a fucking apron?
I think everybody starts somewhere is the first thing that I'd reinforce. Like, don't feel like you're doing something wrong by starting at ground zero. Because most everybody that moves here with a chip on their shoulder has to start somewhere. But then for me, I think looking back, the one thing I'm thankful I did is made really good friends in the writing community. Despite how well they could write. So like it started as making friends, not just making co-writers. And I think that's a huge thing for us. Like as you continue to grow, you want people that you're writing with to be people that you love and people that you can spend time with and be vulnerable with. And so making friends before making like business partners in this town, I think is huge. And the town is hospitable, man. Like,
dude, it really is.
Y'all were great to like usher me in early.
Dude, absolutely.
And I appreciate it. And I think as a writer and an artist, like your camp of people need to be your friends as much as they are talented songwriters.
Instead of saying, hey, we should write sometime, hey, let's hang.
Go
hey,
hang out.
Hey, me and my buddies are going to Dino's. Come meet up with us.
Yes. No,
that
for
kind
sure.
Of thing. Sending that text instead of, hey, we should write sometime. Like, make it friendship first.
Yes. Because the writes will come. I mean, the writes will naturally happen if you get along with somebody. It's Nashville. But that initial meeting, I would tell younger me, like, don't walk up to somebody and be like, we need to write a song. You know, walk up to somebody and be like, hey, let's go hang out. Let's have a cup of coffee. Let's get breakfast. Let's get a drink. And naturally, as you form those relationships, then the writing happens. And the writing's usually better with people you're comfortable with anyways. So it's
100%.
You know, win-win.
You can be vulnerable with that person.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's awesome, dude. Well, man, I appreciate you coming out here to the Herm.
Thanks, man.
And now coming up on Rush Hour, we'll get you. We'll get you out of here.
Yeah, man, appreciate you.
Dude, we appreciate the hell out of you. Wannabe Cowboy. Yes. I'm very excited for the EP, bro.
Debut EP. Debut May 24th, EP, baby.
The first of many, bro. And we're super stoked to have you as a part of our Raised Rowdy family. We got you a little water bottle right there.
Thank you, man.
Our friends from Orca Coolers.
That's amazing.
They gave us a bunch of coolers to give away at festivals this year. So we're doing like the sign up, win a Raised Rowdy cooler kind of thing.
Love
like
it.
The coolers we have at Live Oak and stuff.
This is sick.
We'll get you in some hats and stuff. But thank dude, you. Where can people go to find you if they're not following you already?
Man, Instagram, TikTok, everything is simple. It's ZACHJOHNKING. Zach John King. No underscores, no numbers, nothing.
Hell yeah, dude.
Find me.
Well, brother, I appreciate that.
Thank you, man.
Be sure to check out our boy, Zach John King, Wannabe Cowboy, the debut EP. It is coming, and we're super stoked to be on the lookout for him on the Connor Smith tour, and more dates to be coming. The man just signed a booking deal. We're super stoked for you, brother.
Thank you, man.
Seriously, we love when the good folks win. Seriously, and you're one of the good guys, so we love you, and very happy to have you on the show. Like I said, follow Zach. Be sure to check out RaiseRag.com for more on us. Like, rate, subscribe, tell your mama and them. For my man, Zach John King, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
Thank you all.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know me, you know I'm just a two-trick pony. But maybe the drinking and the lack of money for sure.